Welcome to the Free Range Preacher on Prayer Podcast. Richard here, your favorite announcer, hearkening you to season 6 of the podcast. Fred, your principal reminder, asked me to remind you of a most pressing result of prayer. So to converse with God, Him who we daily design to glorify and serve, and whom we expect daily in some measure to enjoy, and fully and finally, ere it is long, is certainly throughout a way of pleasantness and peace. John Howe, A Treatise of Delighting in God, and Tongue and Pen and Wit, cannot express my joy. Samuel Rutherford. The joy, peace, and comfort, in short, the abundant life which sustains the soul of the children of God, is developed through daily conversation with Holy God. Let's join with Fred now as he reminds us to pray, pray, and pray.
Welcome, Your Excellencies, to the Free Range Preacher on Prayer podcast. My name, as always, is Fred, and I am the principal of the podcast. And we are back in the paddock. That's, again, what I call my booth. And we discuss, every time we're here, we discuss communion with God, our prayer lives, our true communion with our Creator, Savior, and Sustainer. And I am glad you're here. And I'm thankful as well that I was reminded that whenever you listen, if you are a child of God, that makes me in august company. Because the term, Your Excellency, does, as we will see, include you. And it was really great to be refreshed in my heart, mind, and soul about that. Thank you, Jesus, for this lesson and what you are, what you have taught. Amen. As we begin, we've got a couple of thanksgivings. I am very grateful for the donations that are coming in. Just recently, we've had Michael do a donation, and then we have had Riverboat Mike. He's back again with a donation. So we really do appreciate that, you guys. Appreciate it a lot. And then Dave from California, another donation from you. And I really do appreciate that, really. And thank you, Jesus, for that. It is encouraging. One of the things that those donations are doing right now is helping us here, because as of the publishing of this episode, we have sold or distributed the Foundations of Biblical Prayer. And we're closing in on 50 of those. And we went over it early on. A donation gets you a copy of that. They're in their final form now. And then also, if you would just like one, let us know and we'll do our best to get you one. And we will have soon ebooks available as well, at least I hope soon, or at least PDFs of it if you want to take a look at it as well. And we'll have some stuff on the website in the future. And it is also encouraging to hear the comments from the people who get the journals. It is really nice to hear how, in many different ways, they've helped children of God learn how to pray and to pray more consistently. And so that's great. We really do appreciate that. And I will collate those comments on an upcoming episode, and we'll get some of those out to you as well. But it is, thank you, Jesus, being used as well as being distributed. And like I said, we have sold some and we have given away some, because I want you to be able to pray, and I want you to develop your prayer life, which I believe these journals will go a long way in helping you do that. Even if you've prayed for a while, if you've been praying for a while. And again, thank you, Jesus. The Lord is good to the podcast and the Free Range Preacher Ministries. And we pray, and we have been praying, as we always do, that everyone who listens, whenever you listen, you are enjoying an increasing satisfaction with your prayer lives, consistency in your communion with Him, and how you feel out about everything as well. So we do thank you for that. Also, we want to be thankful. We want to mention this week, three of the countries, Canada, you guys came on early too, and you have been with us. You're up at the top of that list of the countries that we have listeners in. The United Kingdom, which I really enjoy. So we have Canada and the United Kingdom, kind of in the same vein, if you will, the same bloodline. And then we also have listeners in the Philippines. And you guys came in early and you jumped pretty high on the list as well. And you've been consistently there as well. So thank you, Canada and Britain and the Philippines. We are glad and we are praying that we might be of some help in your growth as far as it comes to prayer or your enjoyment of God, if you don't need the growth and just need the exhortation or the encouragement to keep going. So thank you, guys. It's been great. And I just love being able to report those things as well. Now, like I said, we are going back to the issue, the real-time issue of whether or not God needs our prayers. And we've been through the Word of God. We've had truths to ponder. We've seen truly from the Word of God that He actually doesn't need anything from us, nothing at all. And the very least would be our prayers to accomplish His will. We've gone over that why He does things the way He does them are out of our purview. Those are the secret things that belong to the Godhead, to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we've also mentioned there really is a danger in thinking that God needs our prayers or that God needs anything from us, for that matter. But it goes all the way from pride and taking glory from God when we think He needs us. Sort of like if you're going to cook some food, you need some kind of heat to cook it in. And again, that's cook, not for you sushi lovers out there. But he doesn't need us in that regard. He uses our prayers. He condescends to use our prayers, but He doesn't need them. And He made that choice. And again, that's a mystery. And so as we wrap this up, we are looking at the privilege, according to the title, of being an ambassador. And we are ambassadors for God. That is our so what. We are ambassadors for God in the work of the gospel, in the building up of the church, and in the spread of the gospel as well. Now, I love history. I love history in general, but I really like ancient history. And if you read in any of the ancient histories, especially of statehood, of communities that take themselves seriously anyway, competing back and forth for resources and room and all that sort of thing, the concept of an ambassador goes back to the very beginning. Now, an ambassador is one who is employed in the service of representing his country, typically, to another country, typically as well. And I'm not anywhere close to an expert on the subject of being an ambassador, but I do know a few key things. It is an honor to be an ambassador. It is truly an honor. That's why the greeting, Your Excellency. But it's not a job you can apply for, at least not typically. And especially in Paul days and in ancient history as well, no one really applies to be an ambassador, a foreign ambassador, to a different country. Envoys are chosen by the ruler or whoever's leading the country. They are chosen and they are appointed. They are set to that task. So you don't really apply for it. It's given to you. And of course, you have to have a history. And the king needs to know you in some fashion or another. But ambassadors, secondly, they need to be incredibly loyal and trustworthy. In the days before our own, even shortly before our own, communication was vastly different than it is now. And when a king sent an ambassador out in his name to another country, the king had to be able to trust who he was sending, his envoy, to not only carry out the king's wishes, but to be able to explain the king's wishes, and to be a visible example of not only what the king desires, but the country that the ambassador is coming from. Typically, in the ancient world, it was men. But if they needed to be strong, or they needed to be kind, or they needed to be flexible, the ambassadors, the king that is, the ambassadors had to embody those things as well. That's part of what they communicated. So ambassadors are appointed. They need to be incredibly loyal and trustworthy. B, because you couldn't go back and tell the king, hey, I changed the wording of what you said a little bit. I hope it's okay. No, by the time you got your news back to the king, it had been weeks or months, sometimes years. Ambassadors are not only loyal, but they need to be truthful to the king who sent them and to the people that the king sent them to. And one of the things that intrigues me, as far back as you want to go in history, when there is knowledge of people working together in those communities, different communities, separate communities, ambassadors were special. They were given special treatment. If an ambassador goes off to a different country, doesn't matter the mission, they are sacrosanct. I use the word sacrosanct. Their presence, their person, the ambassador himself, is inviolable. In the sense, they were untouchable. That's what they were supposed to be. And in history, some of the most crucial and well-known national conflicts were ignited by one people or country misusing or killing the envoy of another country. One of the famous ones that we've heard a lot about here in the West is when the Persians sent envoys to the Greeks and they asked for earth and water. It's said that the Spartans kicked them into the bottom of a well and said, there's your earth and water. And then, of course, Darius, that sparked violence for a couple of generations at least when they did that to Darius's envoys. And so it was expected when you sent ambassadors out, no matter what the answer you got back, you're supposed to get the ambassadors back. And then we also remember in David's life, in 2 Samuel 10, Hanan humiliated the ambassadors or the envoys from David. He sent them out to the Arameans, and Hanan humiliated them. They shaved off part of their beards and cut off some of their clothes and sent them back. And David's response was a war, and a war that he had victory in. Now you might be asking, why am I telling you about ambassadors? We have seen God condescends to use us, and that's basically what a king did. And he uses his people in the kingdom of Christ, in the church, to not only spread the church, but to grow it up and to make it healthy, to mature the church. But he doesn't need us. He's chosen to do that. And the truth is, we are honored to serve the Father using the direction that he has given us and the gifts that he has given us and the power that he has given us through his word and the Holy Spirit. And no matter how we are called or what our individual ministries are, we are called to be ambassadors. And in 2 Corinthians 5:20, you're wondering where I get this. Therefore, Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. That's the mission of the church. Back to the quote, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In a nutshell, that is the message of the church, the kingdom of God. And we are ambassadors sent out to proclaim that news. One of my favorite passages as well, we've heard it over the years, in Ephesians 6, 18 through 20 is all we're going to look at today. But Paul there says, after the full armor of God, he says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with a boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Remember, he's in Philippi, he's in jail. That in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We are ambassadors, a general call in Corinthians, and Paul's specific call in, or specific label that he gives himself in Ephesians 6. So we do have the privilege of being God's ambassadors. Now to further this, I love the book of Philippians, and I want to review again from the book of Philippians. The joy of his excellency, Paul. And truly, what makes up the great part of our joy as children of God, who are called to be ambassadors, a large part of the worthy walk that we are supposed to live, is being those ambassadors, doing what He has equipped us and sent us out to do. Now, I want you to listen to Paul here really quickly. When we think about privilege, Paul was sent, he was beaten, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked, he was ill, and now when he writes this book, he is in prison. And very few of us would say that that was a privilege. This is what Paul says, Philippians 1, 12 and 13. Now, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that in my imprisonment, in the cause of Christ, He has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. So he's in prison, but all the prison guards know that Jesus Christ is the Savior, and he's actually well known throughout their whole ranks. And everyone else in the house, everyone that Paul came in contact with. And then verse 14, and that most of the brethren trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. And I don't know exactly what that means. We'll look at this here in just a second. But in verse 18, Paul says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. Yes, I will rejoice. Paul's well-being stemmed from the fact that he was doing what he was called to do. He was fulfilling his work as an ambassador. Now, if you think about this, way back in the pandemic, I know it seems like a long time ago, it really wasn't. Even here in the United States, the area that I live in, the restrictions that we were under were way less egregious than in many parts of the United States or many places around the world. I know that was true because of the communications we have these days. But it was still, for Americans, a difficult and isolated time. So even though Paul, he's not in the worst environment, as prisons go, he's not in the worst place, it was still frustrating to him to be held in one place, an ambassador sent out who couldn't go anywhere. And it was frustrating to him. He was stood down in the middle of his service. And then why else, verse 15, why else would Paul say, some to be sure are preaching Christ even from envy and strife? And they're doing that, Paul follows, with because they are trying to cause him distress in his imprisonment. If being in this nice prison, the emperor's palace, Nero's palace, with his guards all around him, if that wasn't frustrating, how could they cause him distress if that wasn't in general frustrating? In that moment, Paul knew he was set aside, and he knew as well that he was still performing his duties faithfully, even in that prison, and that's where his joy came from, and that had a ripple effect still all the way around the world. So Paul's joy came from his service, came from his privilege of being that ambassador. And he understood that, and even to suffer and speak for his Savior and King, it was a great thing. When we go to 1 Corinthians 9, 16 and 17, if you want to go there, he also says this, for if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion, for woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Hear that again. I'm under compulsion. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And then he goes on, verse 17, for if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. And again, nobody wants to be in shipwrecks and wants to be flogged and wants to be beaten. But he's under that compulsion of the command of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel wherever he goes. And so he goes there. And again, God didn't need him. God chose to use him and put such a call that Paul knew he would be miserable if he didn't finish, if he didn't do the work he was called to do. And also in that verse, I never noticed this before, no reason to until today. He says, if I'm doing it voluntarily, if I'm just saying to God, okay, you need me, so I'm doing this for you, then he would be able to claim a reward. But it's not. It's against his will. It's against his flesh. He has a stewardship, and it's entrusted. He is an ambassador who has been chosen to go out, selected by the king to go out and fulfill that stewardship. And then amazingly this, he says again, what then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge. If you know Paul's life, he didn't even make any money when he was out on the mission field. He worked. He supplied for himself. His reward was, again, preaching, doing what he was compelled to do, and to do it without charge, so he could make use of the gospel, his full right to that. Nobody could ever tell him that he was doing that for money. And he says, in essence, I'm compelled to preach. I don't do it voluntarily. But when he was sent, that's what he does. He does what he was sent to do. And he does it without charge. And he does it without fame. At one point in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I believe, he says, we're the scum of the earth, but we still preach the gospel. And then 1:21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. As long as I'm alive, I'm Christ's, and I'm going to serve him. In heaven, he's going to be Christ's as well. So Paul is that example. We are called to be ambassadors. He says that in 2 Corinthians 5, and then in Ephesians 6, he sets himself up as that example. And he is a blueprint, if you will, of what we are supposed to do in the church. Not all go and preach, but all to use effectively our gifts to be used by God. But again, he doesn't need us. Serving God, however he has called us to do that, should be that compulsion as well. And we do it when we love people. We don't expect rewards. When we teach people, we don't expect rewards. We do it because that's what God has called us to do. Now, you may say, okay, that's Paul. You're talking about the Apostle Paul. You're not talking about the rest of us. So what I'd like to do is a little drill down now. What made Timothy, Paul's friend, worthy to be followed? Same book, Philippians chapter 2, verse 20. For I have no one else of kindred spirit who will genuinely be concerned for your welfare. For they seek after their own interests, not those of Christ Jesus. But you know of his proven worth, that he served with me in the furtherance of the gospel, like a child serving his father. So Timothy has his place in the Bible, his place in the church. He has that. The trust, he's an ambassador as well for Christ. And again, in Philippians, Paul is sending him back to the Philippians as an ambassador to see how he's doing. And he has that ambassadorship because he has the same spirit and he's genuinely concerned for what Paul is genuinely concerned for what God is genuinely concerned for. That's the welfare of the people in Philippi. He's seeking after the interest of Christ. And his proven worth is that he has served faithfully, just like a child serving his father. And again, one of love and being compelled to do what your father asks you to do. So we've heard from Timothy. Now you might say, well, that's Paul, and Timothy's Paul's disciple. But that's not about everyone. So let's look a little further into Philippians. My response to that would be, what makes Epaphroditus a person of note? And when you read in this in Philippians, you'll find out that first he was sent from Philippi to Paul to get a report. So he was an ambassador sent out, or an envoy sent out. And then he stayed with Paul and helped him out. And now Paul was sending him back to his people because he wanted them to all have peace about who was where and what they were doing and that everyone was okay. Verse 29, therefore, this is about Epaphroditus, the Philippians. Therefore, you Philippians, I'll just throw that in there, receive him in the Lord with all joy and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ. He wasn't a missionary sent out. That was not his official calling. He was an envoy from the church, probably a man of encouragement, somebody that could be trusted, who was sent out to see how Paul was. And then Paul says he risked his life to complete what they had sent him to do, what was deficient in your service for me, is the way Paul puts it. But he sent Epaphroditus out to complete the mission of the church. So you've got Paul, we know he was called. You got Timothy, his disciple. You can assume that he was called to do those things. We know he was. And then you've got Epaphroditus, just a representative from the church. And they all have that same call. Epi, I might call him if I knew him. Epi, he was an ambassador to the head ambassador. And now you might be saying, just one more time, or maybe twice, yes, again, special circumstances. Epaphroditus still went out from his home to serve his church, and then Paul in his imprisonment. That's what you might say, special circumstance. But now I have one more for you, again from the book of Philippians. Let's go to chapter 4, starting in verse 2. I urge Euodia, and I urge Syntyche, to live in harmony in the Lord. Indeed, true comrade, brothers, I ask you also to help these women, that's the church, the comrade, he's calling the church, I ask you to help these women who have shared in my struggle in the cause of the gospel together with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Live in harmony, that's their call. And why is Paul calling them to that? Because they, at home, they didn't go anywhere. They weren't called to go anywhere, but they were still ambassadors for Christ. And obviously, I don't have any idea what their gifts are. I don't know what God called them to do as individuals, but they did participate with Paul in the spread of the gospel. And Paul is in essence saying, stop, my true sisters in Christ, get along, because you too, you haven't left anywhere, but you still share my ambassador's responsibilities. And that's the building of the church. So live in harmony. That's your job. That's what you're called to do. I said there might be one more. Here it is. Your last statement might be a question. So Fred, the podcast principal, what is your so what for today? And obviously, you're way smarter than me. You picked up on this a long time ago. God does not need us at all in any ministry, but he has given us an unearthly, spiritual, not physical privilege to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the ambassador, the creator of the universe, the savior of mankind, and the sustainer not only of the universe, but of ourselves. The Holy Ghost sustains us. He's called us to serve him. We are ambassadors for Christ, not because he needs us, but because he chose us and he sent us out to do our jobs. And there's lots of jobs in the spread of the gospel. There are lots of things to do in the body of Christ to build it up. And there are necessary callings and tasks that we are called to do. And that is reflected in the spiritual gifts. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, that there are a variety of gifts, but only one Spirit, and a variety of ministries, but the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. He goes on to say, verse 7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Whatever you're called to do, that's what you're called to do, the common good of the church. That's why you're called to do that. You are an ambassador for the common good of the church. And I love the passage in Romans 12, 6 through 8 is what we're looking at here. Paul says, and since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. And then he says this, there are gifts of prophecy, there are gifts of service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy, and that's only a sample of them. He'll say a little bit later, be devoted to prayer. And whatever the church needs, we are called to be those ambassadors to build up the body of Christ. You and me, we have that as a privilege, not because God needs us. Whenever I think of that, I think again where John the Baptist tells the people of Israel, don't think you're safe because you're a child of Abraham. God could raise children from Abraham out of these stones if he wanted to. So he doesn't need us, but he does give us that privilege. That's our so what. My excellencies, your excellencies, whenever you listen to this, wherever, all around the world, in whatever time, prayerfully, if my prayers are answered, even after I'm gone, somebody might stumble onto this podcast and be helped in their prayer lives. But you are, your excellency fits for you. You are an ambassador to Christ. And we have the joy to know that our existence has eternal significance. Every time you build up the church, every time you serve willfully, lovingly in the church to the glory of God, that has eternal significance. And I don't know what the percentage of the abundant life comes from our joy in serving, but I know that's where it comes from. A big part of it comes from there. And Paul exemplifies that for us in Philippians. And then we take up the mantle of an ambassador to represent our King. Thank you, Jesus. What a glorious praise and honor. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for today. I am speaking, Holy God, to many right now who listen and prayerfully in the future will listen. But what they long for most of all is an active, vibrant prayer life with you. And we are given that prayer life as ambassador to take up that mantle of intercessors for our friends, for our loved ones, Holy God, for the church right around us and for the church worldwide. From this podcast, we'll be those ambassadors, and they will learn to pray and intercede for the church that you planted. I pray, Holy God, that you will keep on giving us the truth. You love us. You condescended to save us. You condescend to use us. But Holy God, you don't need us. Keep us from that. Keep us from the pride that might take glory from you if we thought you needed us. And keep us from the fear that might come to us when we say, oh, I meant to pray for this situation yesterday and I didn't, and it didn't turn out the way it was supposed to because I didn't pray. Lord, that burden is not ours. When we pray for the salvation of people that we love, the burden isn't ours to pray them into the kingdom. The burden is to join you in your compassion to pray that you save those souls. We bless you and we pray that you would constrain us to the Holy Communion that is ours as your children, that we will accomplish your will through prayer and even through prayers of whatever ministries that you've given us. We bow before you and we bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for that wonderful blessing. And we bow in humility, knowing it's of grace and mercy and not of ourselves. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Your excellencies, we are the redeemed, and we are given over in service to the God who redeemed us and who is working in our lives more than we could ever ask or think for his glory and our good. That's the God we are commended to today. Brethren, let's pray for one another.